Well, we're still looking at the book of Judges and at our series entitled When a Nation Turns Their Back on God. The last time we were together, we were looking at Judges chapter 9, at the story of the son of Gideon, and looked at the, entitled that message, The Result of Rejecting Righteousness. And we saw that after Joshua had established the rule of righteousness, at the end of the book of Joshua, the nation of Israel began to reject the rule of righteousness. And we saw that you reject the rule of righteousness when sin prospers. When sin prospers, righteousness goes down the tubes. And then last time we were together, we saw the result of rejecting righteousness is that fact God confronts those who reject righteousness. He convicts those who reject righteousness. He allows the consequences to happen to those who reject righteousness, and he condemns those who reject righteousness. And then we were reminded that thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, that while there is punishment for sin, there is salvation in Jesus. And we should never lose sight of that reality. So today I want to look at two short passages, one found in chapter 10 and one found in chapter 12. Chapter 10 verses 1 to 5 and chapter 12 verses 8 through 15. They're very small passages, short passages, and they cover five of the judges that ruled over Israel. Let me read the passage for us. Judges chapter 10 verses 1 to 5. After the time of Abimelech, a man of Issachar, Tola, son of Pua, son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shamar, in the hill country of Ephraim. He led Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried in Shamar. He was followed by Jair of Gilead, who led Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. They controlled 30 towns in Gilead, which to this day are called Havoth Jair. It simply means the towns of Jair. When Jair died, he was buried in Kamon. Then Judges chapter 12, verses 8 through 15. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan, and for his sons he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Then Ibzan died. He was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon, in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdor, son of Hillel, from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 80 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. These are five of the judges, and they take up just a couple of verses if you compare it to the rest of the passage. As you can see from the length of these verses, they're not very, very important, seemingly important people. I want to remind us about importance. I've got two videos I want to show us there. It says stars. Why don't you just play them for us one after the other? Thanks, Bunzi. Well, the first video is a video comparing the size of the local planets to the sun. As you can see, it looks like the earth and the sun are quite big when you kind of look at some pictures of them. But I just want to remind you again of the importance of scale. As you look at these pictures, you'll just remind us just how big the earth is compared to the sun. Unfortunately, the picture's not a great quality, but There's the little dot. The sun is 100 times larger than the earth. It's quite incredible, isn't it? You know, when we think of earth, we think we're so important, aren't we? We think of earth as being such a fantastic place, friends, but in reality, it's just, earth is just a little speck when it's compared to the sun. But click on the next one, please, for me. This is one that compares the earth to all the suns that we know about. And, you know, when you look at our planetary system, there's Pluto. Pluto looks pretty big. Then we have the moon. Then you look at it in comparison to Mercury. Mercury is just a little bit bigger than the moon. Then we have Mars. Mars is just a little bit bigger than Mercury. Then we have Venus, which is just a little bit bigger than Mars. Then we have Earth. Earth is just a little bit bigger than Venus. Then after Earth, the next planet in size is Neptune. As you can see, it's about 4 times the size of Earth. Then you've got Saturn and Uranus. But Saturn is the biggest planet. And then even if you compare Saturn to Jupiter, Jupiter is the biggest one. But now compare those to the sun. Look how big the sun is compared to Jupiter. But our sun is not the biggest sun in the universe. This is Sirius A, which is somewhat bigger than our sun. This is Pollux, which is about 5 times bigger than our sun. This is called the red giant, which is about 100 times bigger than our sun. Then there's Aldebaran, which is 50 times bigger than that. Then there's Rigel, which is even bigger than that. Then there is Carinae, the binary star. It's these stars that we can see. Then there's the Pistol star. These are all observable from Earth. Then there is this last, then there's one more after this. No, there's, one more. Folk, I just wanted you to grasp just how big, you know, and how small we actually are. Don't you feel kind of a little bit insignificant when you look at the size of these suns? Don't forget where we started with our sun. And our sun's 100 times bigger than the Earth. And there are suns out in the universe which are 1,000 times bigger than our sun. Isn't that just mind-boggling? You can stop it now. Thanks, Mpunzi. I just wanted to remind you just how small we are. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but we feel quite insignificant, don't we? Particularly when you see the grandeur of space. Just how incredible this whole place is, friends. And as I look at these 5 little kings, hardly worth a mention, I want to remind us, friends, that while we may feel small, never forget God sees the big picture. That's what I would encourage with today. Friends, what may seem insignificant to us, friends, is all part of God's great plan. And that's the great encouragement we can draw. So first of all, I want to remind us out of these 5 kings, this simple thing. God never forgets his promises. There are 12 judges mentioned in the book of Judges. And significantly, one judge comes from one tribe, from every tribe of Israel. God promised that he would build a nation through the nation of Israel. He made a promise to Abraham that he would bless the nations through the nation of Israel. And so, in spite of, you know, some of the judges being important, these five judges, friends, are all important because they all represent one of the tribes of Israel. Tola comes from the tribe of Issachar. Jair comes from Gilead. Ibzan comes from Asher. Elon comes from Zebulun. And Abdon comes from the tribe of Ephraim. If they were not put into the book of Judges, friends, those tribes would not be represented in the book of Judges. Friends, every tribe had one person who led Israel at some point in time. And a great encouragement to me, friends, that in spite of the size of the tribe, because the different tribes of Israel, some were big, some were small, some were more important, some were less important, God, friends, had a place for every single tribe and had a promise for every single tribe that there was in Israel. Secondly, God works in and through our families. When we read these stories, the one thing you will notice is the emphasis on family. Many of them speak about being the son of so-and-so and the son of so-and-so. Or if they don't talk about the son being the son, they talk about the fact that this person had so many children or so many grandchildren. And folk, I find this wonderfully encouraging to me that God has chosen the family into which you were born. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when you're in your family, particularly if you're in a bigger family, just imagine being one of 60 children. That's what we discover there about Ibzan. He had 60 children, 30 boys and 30 girls. You know, sometimes I confuse my children and my grandchildren's names these days. Imagine having 30 of them and trying to remember all those names. Almost impossible would be. But friends, God chose those families for those people to be born into. Sometimes, you know, you don't understand why you've come into this particular family. Sometimes you may wonder about the family that you've been born into. Was I really meant to be here? But let me remind you, friends, that God in his sovereignty chose a family to be born into himself. He was born into a little home in Nazareth. A little home of an unmarried couple. They were committed to each other in engagement, but they were still unmarried. And yet, God chose to be born into a home where he would grow up as a young child as he prepared himself for the ministry that he was set aside for at some point in time. Let's draw encouragement from our family, friends. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the people that you have the possibility of influencing over. You know, you may not have the ability to influence a lot of people, but you do have the ability to influence your child. I read a wonderful quote this last week. It said this: you may not be chosen to achieve great things other than raising the person brought into your family. That may be the only job that you have. The only thing that is important in your life is how you input into the life of one particular child who God may have a specific purpose for in life. Just think of Samuel. Young Samuel. Friends, God put him in a particular family. Thirdly, God's timing is always best. As we look at these people, again, they don't seem so significant. Yet some of them were around for quite a long time and others were not. Tola ruled for 23 years, Jair for 22, Ibzan for 7, Elon for 10, and Abdon for 8 years. A total of 70 years in which they ruled and judged in Israel. Friends, God's time and God's timing is something we'll never fully understand. We don't understand why, friends, but God sees the big picture. I want to remind you of that. As we've been traveling around, we've had a slow leak on the one tire at the back of the car. And when we left here 2 weeks ago, the car was quite unstable for quite a while until we stopped in Dutchwa. Yes, we stopped in Dutchwa and I discovered the tire was almost flat. So we pumped the tire as hard as I could and we went through the rest of our journey, and every time I put in petrol, I had to pump the tire a little bit again. But I was always very conscious of the fact that this tire was rather shaky. Then, on our way back, I stopped early in the morning, yes, on Friday morning, for petrol, just on the highway, as we climbed onto the highway in Johannesburg. There's a petrol station right there. And I asked the chap filling the petrol for me, "Won't you just check the tire?" So he pumped it and he looked, and there he saw a little leak. And so he said, "I can fix this for you quickly." So he went off and fetched his little toolkit and came back with his little toolkit. And as he was fixing it, he said to me, "Oh, I see you come from the Eastern Cape." So he said, "Yes, I come from the Eastern Cape." He says, "Where in the Eastern Cape?" So I said, "King Williamstown or Gauteng." So he said to me, "Do you know, I was born there." And I thought, how significant that that man picked up that nail in my tire at that point in time. Was that not God's hand? God's hand to say, "I've protected you this far, but I'm with you now," and pulled the nail out and stuck the plug in, and the car drove wonderfully on the way back. No problem at all. Sometimes, friends, we go through life just like that, don't we? We kind of don't understand the dangers we're facing. That tire could have burst at any point in time. But the right time, a man from King Williamstown, who happened to be checking my tire, fixed my tire to protect me on my last bit of my journey. God's timing we don't always understand, friends, but sometimes it's wonderful to know that God has his hand over us. Fourthly, as we consider the fact that God sees the picture, big picture, I want to remind you, God knows where you live. In each of the cases of these five kings, we are told where they were born and where they died and were buried. Now, I know in many cultures how significant that is. How important it is to know where you are born and where you are buried. And friends, the wonderful thing recorded right here in Scripture, if you look at the list of names, there aren't any of importance. You will say to me, oh, there's the name Bethlehem there. Well, do you know that there was more than one Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem simply means the house where bread is made. Bethlehem, that's what it means. So there were many places where the center of the town was a bakery. And that town became known as Bethlehem. So you had Bethlehem, where Jesus went and was born, Bethlehem Ephrathah, or Bethlehem of Judah. In this particular case, this was Bethlehem from Zebulun. It was a little dorpy, it's a little no place. But friends, God knew where each of these people were born and where they were buried. And I want to just remind you of that, a great encouragement. Sometimes, you know, when we think of our little town here, you know, we think, oh, well, it's not that important, is it? But friends, our little town is of tremendous significance. I can't tell you how many times Patricia and I, as we travel around this country, come across people who came from King Williamstown. Hundreds of them. Every town we've been to, particularly Baptist churches, many of them went through the doors of this particular church, spread out throughout our whole country. Bethany Emmanuel, friends, has had influence into the Baptist world in our country, but not only the Baptist world, into the Christian world of our country in a great and incredible way. Don't think of yourself as being less important, friends. God can use you exactly where you are. Never lose sight of that. And finally, God chose these five people for a purpose. How do we know what their purpose is? Well, we find their purpose in their name. What do their names mean? Well, the first one is Jair. The word means a crimson worm. Now you think, that's not such a nice name to have, is it? The name of a worm. But friends, it's a very special worm. Because from that worm, when it was dried, it was crushed. And the crimson color, the purple color that came from it, was the color that was made to make the purple robes that the kings wore. So Jair is a purple, reddish, crimson color. Gilead, not Jair, Tola, that's Tola's name. Jair, what does Jair mean? Jair is a combination of two Hebrew words. It's the name Jehovah or Yahweh. And Ir, which is light. Jehovah is light. Jair. Jehovah. Jair was to bring light into that particular place. So, friends, he brought light into the nation of Israel. Ibzan, his name simply means famous. How is he famous? Well, he is famous in being part of Boaz's family. Remember Boaz in the book of Ruth? Boaz married Ruth. And from Boaz's line came who? Jesus. Jesus came from that line. So Ibzan was the famous one. He was famous because not only did he marry his daughters into the world around him, but he got wives for his sons to come. And friends, what a wonderful picture of the gospel, that as he sends his daughters out into the world, and as he finds women to marry his sons from around the world, the message of the gospel goes out from Ibzan. Elon, what does his name mean? His name means a tree. It's either an oak grove or a pistachio tree. But whatever tree it is, it's a big, strong tree. And then Abdon, his name means a servant. I trust you've seen the connection, friends. Have you seen it? There, first of all, is Tola, whose name means crimson red. Are you beginning to catch it now? There is Jair, whose name means the light of the world. There is Ibzan, who means famous, who comes from Bethlehem. Jesus is the bread of life. There is Elon, whose name means a tree. And we see it hanging there, friends. The tree upon which Jesus was born or died. And then Abdon, who is the servant. The servant king who came to serve us all. So friends, in every name, in every person chosen by God, in every one of these judges, they're pointing us to Jesus. Every time, Tola the blood, Jair the light, Ibdan the bread, Elon the cross, Abdon the servant king, who came to serve us all. Friend, let me remind you, God sees the big picture. Let's draw encouragement from that today. Sometimes when we read these names in the Bible, they kind of hardly mean anything to us. They seem so insignificant. I imagine most of you have just read over those names, not even bothering to kind of find out who they are. But friends, everything in the Bible points us to the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. God knows your name, friends. He knows who you are. He knows what you're facing today. He knows the pain and the peace that you need in your heart. God, friends, knows where you live. He knows where you're going to be buried. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Friend, God knows. In spite of how big the biggest sun may be in comparison to the earth, God knows you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that great encouragement that you see the big picture. Sometimes, Lord, we get lost in so much of the little detail that we forget, Lord, you are God. There is none like you. You are sovereign, and we give you all the praise. We sing to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.